We're almost halfway through ordinary time with this 16th week that we're in now. And you notice the first reading, we're still in the prophets. And we have the prophecy of the famous statement of Micah, who understands the seriousness of sin and is seeking from God a way to make atonement for his sin. Huh? God, he's given the law suit. God has a lawsuit against his people. The image there is it's called a reev in Hebrew. One person is standing before the judge or before witnesses. Many times this procedure in the prophets is cosmic. Call on the mountains and the hills and the sky and the sun to come and witness and stand here, God says, while I accuse my people. And then the lawsuit is just between these two people. And the witnesses are there to hear. And so you just heard, what have I done to you? I chose you. I rescued you. I brought you into a land not your own. I released you from slavery. And what have you done? And then the answer from Micah, the prophet, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before God Most High? Shall I come with burnt offerings and calves and so forth? Shall I give my firstborn for my crime, which was a thing that the pagans did, you see? You have been told, O man, what is good, what the Lord requires of you. To respond to this accusation of God, he tells us what to do. And he says, do what is right, love what is good, and walk humbly before your God. That's what I ask of you. And if you'll do that, you will make up for your sins. Then in the gospel, we have this. The fathers of the church are very observant. They say, notice how they're always trying to stroke Jesus' emotions. They're trying to trap him. And so sometimes they frighten him. They try to frighten him. Sometimes, like here, like the incident with the Caesar's coin. You know, we know, teacher, that you don't pay attention to anybody. You just preach the truth, you know. Build up his ego and then get him to say something stupid. How blind. Who are you dealing with? And so they ask for a sign. They want the sign for two reasons. One, so that it will come out of his own ego. And the other is, they want to be forced to believe. Force me to believe. You can't force anybody to believe. Ever. Make a sign so big and powerful and wonderful that I've got to say, you're it. There's no sign in the world that can force a human conscience to believe. Let there be a human being open, and a sign from God can be a wondrous solicitation to believe. What characterizes the great saints, including our friend today, Lawrence of Brindisi, is that they walk by faith, not by sign. They don't need all these guarantees. They have the word of the Lord himself. They have the sacraments, which are signs, and they see in them what's really going on. That's enough. So our Lord gives two answers to them. An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign. Why is it adulterous? Because it's unfaithful to God. That's the whole prophetic preaching, right? That Israel is adulterous because it doesn't stay with her spouse. And that image, being the spouse of God, that's only in Israel. Because everybody else worships lots of gods. It doesn't make any sense outside of Israel. You see, an adulterous generation, a generation unfaithful to my father. But no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Now the basic sign of Jonah the prophet is that he is the preacher of repentance. That's who he is. You read the book of Jonah on the feast of Yom Kippur in the Jewish liturgy. The preacher of repentance. And our Lord adds here a prophecy. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He's pointing ahead, giving them another chance. When I rise from the dead, after you have crucified and mocked me and tortured me and I die, and you put me in the ground, and I rise, there will be a sign for you. If you want it. And so you see, there are signs. Now, Paul says, haven't I shown you those things that mark an apostle? Signs and wonders and deeds of power done with great perseverance, with great endurance. There are signs. And they manifest Jesus. But to live by signs is to miss the whole point. It is though a husband says, I won't believe you love me unless every night there's a splendid banquet when I come home. See, love goes deeper than that. And that's what our Lord is talking about here. You see, the men of Nineveh will arise because they believe Jonah. And there's something greater than Jonah standing right here in your midst. And he knew he was greater than Jonah. And he's trying to bring them into that blessing. And the queen of the south, she heard of the wisdom of Solomon and traveled all the way up. And there's something greater than Solomon right here. And so it comes down ultimately to how does our heart move? We have the greatest sign in the world every day, right here at the liturgy. The greatest sign. The body and blood of the risen Jesus Christ, right here. And you see how dull we can become and how routine we can become. You see, the heart that always seeks the Lord, always seeks the truth, is always saying, you know, I don't need that, I don't need that, I don't need that. I just need you. I just want you. That's all I need. And when a heart is strong enough, then the Lord can remove all the other signs and begin to let the light of his own divinity shine. And it's so bright that it causes darkness. And that's the dark night of the soul. It's a revelation of the splendor of God. And it blinds us. And then we get through it, and this light purifies us. And then there they are, the saints. The only normal people in the world. There they are. Just thrilled, even in this life. And God is enough for them. St. Catherine of Siena used to say when she received the Eucharist, Lord, thank you for this inestimable gift, this wonderful sign, this icon, this presence. But how long do we have to keep this up in symbol? I want to see you. I want to be with you forever. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring us to such a desire that nothing matters but God. And that's why our Lord is so disappointed. They're trying to play games here with the Son of Man. You know, you're a great guy. Just show us a sign. We'll follow you. Turn around and, you know, now they built up his ego. Okay, mountain, out of here. See that? And he would sin. And they know that. But of course, his heart is too pure. He loves the Father too much. There's no way he's going to be tricked.